Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca with co-host, teacher and socialist Andy Lipson, and community organizer and socialist Kenny Cepeda. We are online at what-s-left.webnode.com. Today we will be discussing what is happening with the USPS, the United States of America, a postal service. This has been something, well, that our very own Brandy brought up. And for those of us that don't, or for our audience that don't know who Brandy is, happens to be Andy's partner. So I want to say and extend my appreciation. Thank you to Brandy for sharing with us a possible topic for us to cover. Thank you, Brandy.
This is her second one. I'm trying. What was the other topic that she recommended? Do you remember what it was?
Fires, I think it was once.
Maybe it was. Okay. It was something else, but can't remember.
Yeah, that's true. I forget. Well, let's carry on then. How shall we? So I guess should I give some context, or should any one of you? Yeah. This country has had, the USA has had a long history with the Postal Service office, and it seems to be in jeopardy because there has been now recently talk about having universal voting in this country, and that seems to rattle Republicans, and specifically Trump has been talking about getting rid of any fraud or trying to get the U.S. Postal Service to be out of universal voting. So what we are finding now is that there is a postmaster general that is in the position of being able to allocate funds or be able to say what the post service workers, how many hours they'll be able to have during the work hours, or when if they can have enough resources like trucks or machines to sort out mail. And some of those things seem to be reduced or cut in their funding because, well, the postmaster general, who is Louis DeJoy, is one of Donald Trump's prominent financial donors. And so I'm just giving what's on the headlines. We will go and delve into the details and our points of view about it in a second. Anything that I might have left out, both of you that would like to add or think that might be useful for us to know?
You said universal voting, but I don't think universal voting is the thing. It's registered voters being able to cast their ballot through mail, right? So, like, not everyone.
Yes, I used universal voting only because there was a recording, I think, that Donald Trump went on, whether a podcast or somewhere, he said the word universal voting. But yes, it is mail-in voting that has been around for a very long time, and most people who are in government actually use it, like Donald Trump himself. Yes, Kenny. Yes, it is. I should clarify. It's mail voting.
Anyhow. No, the only other thing I would add, I probably don't quite agree with the framing of it, but the other thing is what's happened is post office deliveries are being told, like deliverers are being told, no overtime. You know, if you've got extra mail, leave it. Next day, you'll do it. This has led to, obviously, a reduction in costs for paying overtime to workers that the post office has been increasingly stripped to the bone in terms of personnel. But also, it's slowing down its service, and it's reducing the wages of workers who often rely on the extra pay they get for overtime. So that's another feature of what has been said. And there has been talk of getting rid of the more far-reaching and distant, more rural centers of distribution, and becoming more centralized and in a higher density areas. So that's the only other things that's been talked. But the things that actually happened were about, you know, you can't, no overtime, leave your deliveries, pick them up the next day, and it has led to a real slowing down and people not getting medicines and things like that.
And I should say that there has been a long desire to privatize the post service. Right now it is part of the government.
So
I'm noticing, Andy, you have a lot of disagreements about the way I framed this.
Yeah. Do you want to get into it? I mean, I think you actually already answered your question. You said privatize. That's what's going on here. This has nothing to.
Yeah.
It has to do with the elections. It definitely has to do with the elections.
Yeah.
But it's not about. In my mind, this is not about trying to gin up the elections through the mail process. It has to do with the elections in the same way that liberals will say, I'm not going to vote for a president who puts kids in cages, but wants Barack Obama back who puts kids in cages. That's what's going on here. Like the process that's taking place here is a continuation of the privatization of and an acceleration of the privatization of the post office, which has been going on for 50 years. And the about 300,000 jobs have already been, like, the high watermark for the U.S. Postal Service was about 800,000 jobs in 1999. Since that time, full-time jobs have reduced down to 500,000. 150,000 of those jobs were lost under Barack Obama's presidency. At the same time, 3,700 post offices were eradicated under Barack Obama's presidency. You will notice no one ever said, what the heck's going on here with Barack Obama? Why did this Democrat accelerate this process of privatization of the post office? And now suddenly the Democrats are saying, oh my God, look at this guy. Look at DeJoy, or look at Trump. He's privatizing. And we're going to try to stop him, although they're not going to try to stop him. They could have put something in the CARES Act, and they chose not to. That was Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, all of them. They did nothing. Now they're going to act like they're going to do something, while hiding the fact that they have spent the last two or three decades, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, privatizing this very industry that they're saying they're trying to preserve. There's no question that this guy, DeJoy, is that his last name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is escalating it. There were four board of governors who on that board of governors who were on it. Three of them are Republicans, one of them are Democrat. All of them said, yeah, you're fine. Even though him and his wife have $100 million worth of assets in economic competitors to the USPS. They know that, but they don't care, because they know he's going to privatize this business. Now, we can talk a little bit about why this is being accelerated. The very same thing that's happening in privatization of the post office is right now happening in education with distance learning. All right, so the thing I don't agree with is that suddenly Trump decided with DeJoy to privatize the post office. That's such a lie, and it's so cynical for people to think that the Democrats can make an issue of this by saying we're going to preserve the post office when they have been actually as much responsible for privatizing it as Trump. So that's the thing I'd say.
One thing that I've noticed in a lot of the discussion of this issue, especially on liberal media, is that, you know, they jump from 2006 to 2020. And they basically don't discuss what happened during those years, you know, the Obama years, you know, and at the very best, I guess you can argue neglect, but obviously, you know, it's a deliberate attack on the Postal Service. And also, you know, both parties, both sides have argued that, you know, they don't have their shit together, basically, the USPS, and that they, you know, they need to run more efficiently and blah, blah, blah. When in reality, they've both been sabotaging, you know, the USPS in order to privatize it. You know, it's the same way they this is neoliberal fucking politics. This is what they do in education, like Lipson said. This is what they do in, utility companies.
Latin America. Structural adjustments of Latin America.
This is classic neoliberal, like make something fail, misrepresent it, say that, you know, it's not working well, even though the United States Postal Service prior to 2006, that is a fact, it was making profit, you know, but then they were hentied by this Accountability Act in 2006, which was a bipartisan thing. Yes, it was mostly Republicans, but there was Democrats that allowed that shit to happen, you know, and so, but obviously it's convenient now to make this connection to 2006, a Republican government, and to 2020, you know, another Republican government. But just like in education, there's a linear attack, a continuation, and it's a continued escalation of the war on, you know, on public services, and therefore the war on working class people. Because a lot of people do depend on this service, you know, the USPS, and even a lot of companies like FedEx, like
USPS. Amazon.
No. So the thing that you mentioned earlier, you know, the last leg, you know, these remote areas, these companies don't go there because it's not profitable. So they leave it to the USPS, you know, United States Postal Service to do that last leg. So, you know, they have benefited from it. Who do you think carries all those credit card junk mail that you get in your houses? The United States Postal Service, you know, and it's done for very cheaply for, you know, all these banking companies and, you know, and yeah. So, you know, they're using it for political maneuvering right now. It's very convenient, and there's an information gap, you know, big one. And the liberal media is willingly going with that, participating in that in the failure of analyzing the issue at its core.
And can I just add one last corrupt hypocrisy? This guy DeJoy deserves to be, you know, put over the coals for having a, what's it called, conflict of interest financially. But what do you say about the fact that when Barack Obama closed down 3,700 post offices, that it was the husband of Dianne Feinstein who made money off of selling those post offices? What is that? Like, that to me is like just as criminal and corrupt as what's going on here. And yet the Democrats get a pass because it's Barack Obama.
I don't know if you want to jump in. Well, and then again, obviously, they want to make it about democracy, you know, and an attack on democracy. And, you know, and they're both making arguments in one way or another. You know, Trump is talking about fraud, in voting, even though, like, you know, one in four votes casted in the last few elections has been, you know, mailed in voting. Blah blah blah, and you have to go through a lot of hoops to actually commit fraud. But even before that, to me, like the corruption, the fraud has already happened before you even get to the ballot box. You know, the political maneuvering, you know, like, is not even from the liberal left perspective, you know, the corrupting aspects of this democracy or whatever shambles of a democracy is supposed to be. It's already happened when you have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris shoved down their throats of liberals.
I wanted to know if what you had read, Andy, was accounting for the service of the Postal Service going down, since we've also had tech booming, and as well as most people don't write as they used to. Snail mail isn't as used as before. So I'm not sure if all of that can be counted also during Obama's administration. I'm not trying to give him a pass, but I wonder how much of that was accounted for as well, because even prior to this whole DeJoy being appointed for General Master, their postal services have been closing over time because of snail mail. So I would just always, I'm always trying to think of like what is also another factor that's playing into that equation there. I wouldn't want to necessarily say that Obama was on the route for privatization, you see, if that's all right, if you want to speak to that before I say my other point.
Obama would have done it is basic. Obama is liquidating the U.S. Postal Service for the same reason that Trump is, because they're saying it's not profitable and then that it's running at a loss and that it can't sustain itself. So. That's the reason.
Well, there might be that, but there definitely is a difference in mail-in voting, right? There is a difference in those areas where there is a push for mail-in voting by the Democrats for a while now, and majority of Democrats, even they have pushed legislation for that to happen. Prior to this chaos that happened recently versus the Republicans. So I'm just trying to point out the difference in what you said, because it could be misleading.
But one thing, I do have to add this though, but this has nothing to do with the U.S. Postal Service. Even currently can deliver about 3.8 billion parcels of mail a week. That's per week. So there's 270 million possible voters. So there's no problem. The problem that they're going to run into is not at the point of the delivery of the ballot. It's going to be in the counting of the ballots, which is something that that's not really what the U.S. Postal Service is even about. The Democrats are making this up. The Democrats are gaslighting.
I was listening to a show about this from 2013, where basically it's a critique of the liberal media when that talking point was advanced by CNN and things like that. You know, this soundbite of snail mail. You know, in bringing this argument that, you know, the new technology or whatever has, you know, brought it. What has happened to commerce? Don't we all get packages? But guess who's doing that traffic? Amazon. Guess who championed Amazon as a great company and visited that company and empowered that company? Barack Obama. So if there is such a thing as competition killing the U.S. Postal Service, it is privatization. It is, you know, things like Amazon. Mm-hmm. But actually, I would argue, and I don't have numbers, maybe people can go check themselves. I would argue, no, there's actually more things being sent through the mail nowadays than in 2006. It's just, you know, different companies doing this.
41% of global mail still is coming through the USPS. And much of that is Amazon mail.
And I agree with you, Andy, where this mail could be done. During Christmas time, more mail comes through than that would be coming in if it was mail, even if everyone signed up for mail in voting. So,
but this is what Obama did. Obama cut full-time work and did increase part-time work through that was a result of the 2008 crisis and the renegotiation of things. This is what happened is about 150,000 full-time jobs were lost and part-time jobs were created. So you would work with the USPS during peak seasons. But other than that, you don't have those jobs. That's Barack Obama.
Okay.
You're welcome, working class.
But there wasn't anything like what we have with the Joy, reducing the amount of trucks that are out on the field trying to send the mail, right? Or there wasn't, as well as the shortage of hours, mail workers being told to leave the mail where it is, where food is being rotten, tons of animals, you know, and live animals that are sent over the mail that are being there, as well as the taking away of machines. And then still, DeJoy going to Congress recently and saying, nothing's happening, there's nothing's going to, you know, it's just sort of just lying to us. And we know from the union that the opposite is true, where there are things that are happening to the service that exists. No, so I feel like I did that. Are you saying that this sort of abrupt disintegration happened during the Obama administration? I just want to be clear.
Yeah,
it's abrupt now that the Democrats, is convenient to the Democrats, you know,
and it's abrupt because in 2011 Ralph Nader had a campaign around what the Democrats were doing. And the reason you didn't hear about it, Eduardo, is because the liberals let the Democrats do anything they wanted to and gave them a pass for anything. Because the attack was actually worse under Obama, he got rid of more post workers than Trump. Trump actually did this. Trump said, you know what, the U.S., he said this about 2 years ago, he's changed his tune. He said the USPS has to actually charge more to Amazon because they're getting over on us. The USPS needs to charge more to Amazon. Now, he didn't mean it. I mean, he didn't follow through on it. But again, the attack on the working class was actually much greater under Obama.
Just to that point, Eduardo, I think that's a problem that we have on the left, that, again, this fixation on Trump, and no doubt, you know, there is an escalation. But there has to be an escalation with the FBI administration. You know, there was an escalation, for example, on immigration, you know, or the attack on immigrants from Bush to Obama to Trump. You know, there is an escalation of war. You know, there's an escalation of everything on the war in the working class, period. So they're not disconnected. They're one, you know, they're part of the same ruling class. You know, they may have a different approach, but their job literally is to advance the empire, the capitalist empire. And so that's my point. But we get fixated on Trump and just this administration and the latest brutality, then we dismiss that big gap between 2006 and 2020.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andy.
No, go ahead.
I don't mean for us to fixate on Trump. I understand that can be something we can go into it, and especially liberals. I just simply haven't personally, maybe someone else can show me this. And yes, I would admit if it was my ignorance, but I do think that the Postal Service Union has definitely come out during this administration to call out that there are definitely attacks on this workforce. I don't remember that during the Obama administration. Yeah. If there is, anyone can show it to me. But the union did not come out and
there were statements
specifically made to Obama's administration.
They were appealing to Obama. They were saying, Obama, you have to help us. And they were making the deals with Obama. The trade unions support the Democratic Party. Like, just like my teacher union was watching privatization take place while making deals with Bill Gates and Newsom and Obama. And Obama was firing teachers in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry you don't pay attention to this stuff, but that's what's happening. No, I'm being like, this is the reason I'm saying it's like kids in cages. You know, Eduardo, that there were kids in cages under Obama. And that's why you were able to see when people started saying, oh, my God, kids in cages. You're like, wait, didn't that happen before? So why are you getting upset now? And the one thing I will say is there is a difference in the attack now. It's not just it is related to the economic crisis.
That is the attack that I'm speaking to. I feel as if
you're missing the part of the.
But I there is definitely other factors into play
You're missing the part,
which is also just the competition in mail service as well as technology having a hit on snail mail.
It has nothing. It's not about the USPS. It's about public sector the workforce. This is what this is. Do you know what percentage of the private sector workforce is unionized? What percentage out of all the, what percentage of private sector workers, auto workers, in the private sector? Mm-hmm. It's like 6%. 6% of the workers are unionized in the private sector. Do you know what percent they are in the public sector?
Go ahead and tell us, Andy.
33%. So the U.S. ruling class has a game to play now, has a really important thing to do now. And they're not just doing it in the Postal Service, but they're doing it in teachers' union right now. They have to bust those unions. They have to rip up those contracts. That's the way they're going to become competitive. They have to do massive structural adjustment that they did in Latin America here if they're going to be competitive with China. So this is why, if you think of it as a post office, you're missing the whole thing. This is an attack on public sector working class, which is taking place in all sectors. So my going to distance learning is part of that attack. Our contract doesn't even exist anymore before. We now have this MOU, which was written in 3 days, Memorandum of Understanding. The Memorandum of Understanding, which was put together in like a week, has more authority in my union than the current collective bargaining agreement that we've had for over four decades. That's had been the structure for it. And they're going to use that Memorandum of Understanding to rip up our old contract and create a new one on new cloth. As well as they're going to bring all these private companies with the computer technologies to get rid of our jobs and to make it so we can't strike. That's the same. This is what's happening. If you think this is just if you think this is just about the USPS, you're missing the point. This is an attack on the working class, but through its most organized sector, the public sector workforce. And if they can bust those unions, then they can basically make benefits and healthcare something that workers all across the board can't ask. The reason Amazon has to pay its workers more than it wants to is because of the wages and benefits of USPS workers. If they can bust that union, they can bring those wages down, then they can screw their workers even harder. That's what this is about. And let me be clear. The Democrats are actually just as much in favor of doing that as the Republicans. And they've been part of doing that. And you have to understand that. If you don't understand that, then go vote for Trump or go vote for Biden and you'll get it in a little while.
I mean, I just wanted to add, and then we end up with more gig workers, you know. Once they break down, you know, union jobs like you know, postal service and that, and obviously we know the state of the, you know, ununionized workers.
I agree that there is definitely a larger agenda that is happening here. To definitely, as we have also said on this channel/podcast, that there is a larger agenda to get rid of workers, such as teachers and postal workers, and even people as like cashiers and, you know, these lower wage jobs that exist, that they're automizing the workforce. What I was only highlighting was that this has come about for the Republicans because of mail-in voting. That's what I was highlighting. I do want to acknowledge that I'm sure consolidations and ways to optimize this work, this specific workforce, has existed. But again, I would like to just maybe point out those other factors. And I almost feel as if we are also possibly dismissing that this has come about because of people. I don't know, maybe it's not that important to you about voting, but this is an attack on voting. No, whether we agree, I know what the three of us agree, that the Electoral College is definitely the voice of the elites and the ruling class and not the working class, for sure, that their votes is not going to be counted. But this is an attack on people's votes, specifically from the Republicans right now, and in some states from Democrats when they're trying to get the Democrat votes for them. But that's what I'm just trying to highlight on this episode, that this is what we're talking about, which is Trump's attack on the Postal Service. And that's fine. If you want to say that this has been happening since the one administration, I'm not disagreeing that it did not have to happen. I simply wanted to point out the key difference. That's all I was doing.
I assume when you say the attack on voting, it's because they're slowing down the delivery so that the mail-in ballots won't get there on time. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, that is what's being,
I agree. That's what's being said. So I'm
assuming that's what's being done.
No, but that's actually not what the problem will be. To the extent that there's going to be a problem, it's going to be with the election, with the people who have to count the ballots. The ballots are going to get in on time. The USPS is not going from 3.8.
The ballots are not every state is going to get the ballots on time. There has already been delays, even in the past elections recently that we've had recently. There have been some delays already.
So are those delays due to the Postal Service or the states?
That's right.
Because of tampering with the Postal Service as well.
No, and not mail-in voting. No, it's to the extent that those delays have been, they've been counting the ballots that have come in. And that's the same problem they're going to have. And they're going to say that hasn't happened. And that is a problem with the election apparatus. Again, you wanted me to give you receipts on the way the Democrats have been rigging elections. I have the receipts if you wish to see them now.
Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. So let's just look at this very recent election. Now, this is your beloved Democrats who love elections. So let's look in California.
My beloved Democrats.
Let's look in California. Twice. I'm going to have to share my screen, okay?
Yep.
First, this is Michigan. Look here at the gain or loss. This is basically comparing exit polls. This is in the 2020 election. This is comparing exit polls, like I told you before, from the actual counted votes. Biden gain was 1.7% bigger in the exit poll. Sanders was 15% smaller than what. So in the exit polls, it seemed like he did better, but then they count in Michigan and they see he's 15% down when they count the machines. That's Michigan. Let's go to California. Biden up 15% from the exit polls. Sanders magically down minus 11%. California. let's go to Missouri. Biden up 9.3% from the exit polls. Sanders down minus 11.4%. What did I tell you was the percentage that they use in Latin America for when these things are off? I told you it's off 4%. When they find these things are off by 4%, they think it's a fraudulent election. So we're seeing state after state after state. Let me give you one more example, because you still don't believe and you want to see more receipts. Here's Texas. Okay. Biden up 1.1%. Sanders down negative 11.7%. These are all Democratic primaries using the electronic stuff. Tell me about your elections right now. You wanted okay, receipts. Well,
no, I think this is very important. I would like to get...
And I have, there's like six more states to look at.
I would like some time with this. Not now, obviously. But I also said to you that, remember the question, just for our audience to remember, and the last, what was it, two episodes or the last episode, I had told Andy when he said that there were the popular votes, which were 3 million votes against Trump, that you said.
Yeah, that's going to be harder to find. I had that stuff before in
2016. That was the original question. I remember it quite well.
But I'm just saying, the reason that's harder to find is there was stuff out there. That stuff is harder to get online now.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. I mean, I can get it, and you'll have to go longer into finding it. But this is 2020, so it's just a repeat of 2016. This is the same election apparatus. These are the same states that are counting ballots, Eduardo.
Right. Well, we're talking about 3 million votes. You said the majority of those votes were given right. to Hillary, as that was the fraud that yours.
No, and I would say, and I can find people.
Right.
It's harder to find now online, but who saw that there was the same kind of fraud that had been seen in the vote counting machines, exit polls, right. different than the things. I wanted to give you a more up to date example of 2020. So this is your Democratic Party that is worried about election fraud.
My Democratic Party.
Your Democratic, yes. Who's worried about election fraud that you're saying is now trying to protect the election from Trump's mailroom attack. And one, the mailroom attack is fraudulent because it's not even happening at the level of the mailroom delivery. Two, the Democratic Party is conspiring with the Republican Party to privatize the USPS, and they're just trying to hide that fact during the election. And three, that most of the fraud is on the part of, as much of the fraud, if not more, is on the part of the Democratic Party. Because these numbers, if you go to look at the RNC numbers, you don't see these numbers. In fact, they've reported the same thing. Exit polls and the other things look exactly the same. That's in the RNC.
Well, like I said, I would like to spend some time with those. And remember, I did say that you had dismissed the element of Russia hacking in the elections. Well, so we will delve into that. And for our audience, it seems like this one has been brewing for some time.
I think
so we have to delve into that.
Yeah,
Russia is going to put a lot of agents undercover in the USPS, mail delivery rooms.
If I remember right, Eduardo, you were saying that the troll farms played a meaningful or some kind of role in the election results, right?
They played some role. What percentage, I'm not sure, but I have some. I saw a documentary. I also looked at some stuff that I would like for us to explore. And there are troll farms that exist, not just in Russia. So I don't want it just to be a Russian. I include in here as well. But you're saying, Andy, that troll farms have no, I remember, and you were quoted in the episode, you have zero.
Zero. The biggest impact. Troll farm.
And that was the time when Kenny was with us in between us sitting in the Mission District. And he sort of, but. You had said nada.
Correct.
So,
except for the troll farm called CNN, NBC, New York Times, Washington Post. Those troll farms, they had a huge impact on the election.
So we'll go into that. Let's go back to the topic on the Postal Service. So I appreciate that you have shared with us that, Andy. Again, I think we're talking about, just to be clear, we're talking about two different things here.
Oh, God.
I'm speaking, but one key element that is the difference of these two administrations is the key element that I was speaking to, but that you don't think is the difference in these two administrations, correct?
Yeah, what was the key difference?
The key difference is that there is an abrupt attack on the U.S. Postal Service because of mail-in voting, which is not something that I remember in the Obama administration. And I will look it up if there was anything around specifically mail-in voting. That is the key difference in between these two administrations, that is the attack on the U.S. Postal Service. And you're saying that there isn't a difference. You're saying that there has been attack that has already started from the past and is a continuation, and Trump is only exasperating the attack.
There's a difference in the scale of what's probably going to be the upcoming attack, but the reason for the attack has nothing to do with the votes. The reason for the attack has everything to do with the recent collapse in the economy and the restructuring of the global economy and the U.S. economy in the face of competition with China, which is why I'm linking this not just to privatization in postal service. It's connected to the privatization that's taking place in education. So if you think this is about elections, you're missing the whole point. This has nothing to do with elections. And it's part of a misdirection about what politically is at play here. So actually the attack is worse than what you're saying, because it's actually not just about the elections. It has nothing to do with that, actually, except to say that the Democrats are using this as a way of reviving themselves in the elections. That's the only reason it has a political election.
But the Trump administration you dismiss has been ignited to do this attack, because there isn't that element of mail-in voting that has been
the driving force for this. That's not what's accelerating the attack.
Trump has been saying the entire time.
No, he said it. I mean, it's the accelerating.
He said it in an interview. That is what has the reason why he decided to hold back money, and that is a reason why, like, as well, it was. That's what he had said. It was because of, he said, as I quote, universal mail-in voting. Universal voting.
Again, I'm just saying what I think the interests are in play here. That I don't think that Trump can be, like, whatever he might have said, the attack, right. He can't come out and say, we're trying to smash the working class. I mean, he could say that. But what they're trying to do is dismantle the most highly unionized section of the working class, and they're using the economic crisis to do that. No section of the ruling class is going to say that. So they're going to use some other statement about it. So I guess right now you think Trump is the guy who's going to tell you the truth now. All right. But the reality is,
I think we're really misunderstanding ourselves right now, because I do think that we agree that there has been a continuation of attacks for the voting, but there is that difference. But I'll leave it there, because you can continue on. I'm just saying I'll leave it there, because I think we're just sort of gnawing at this scab for a while now. But there is a difference, in my opinion, I'll just state, in the driving force for why the attack is there. Has there been liquidation liquidate the U.S. Postal Service? Yes, I agree. Did it happen under the Obama administration? Yes. Do I feel as if you're missing other factors? Yes, I do feel like you're missing other factors, such as competition and as well as technology the advancement of technology in the way that we communicate today. I just would like for you to at least, I hate to use this word, but concede that there is a difference in that one piece of element. But I wouldn't expect that from you.
The issue I have with that, again, that argument, this fixation on drawing differences, that's literally how these parties operate, you know, to try to draw a difference between us and them, when in reality, they're part of the same continuation, you know, war on the working class. And that's what we need to focus on. Not what, you know, these small, you know, colorful, whatever differences. The fact is that there is a direct line on all these issues between one administration to another. I name one issue where they're really like that different.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this is no different to that. And I think it's pointless. It's a waste of time to keep drawing that. Like in me, like as a socialist, that is what I have to drive, that there is no difference. There's a continuation. You know, and whatever difference they want to display, it's just to fool you. And you're fooling yourself if you're buying that difference. And they may act differently, you know, like, no doubt Trump, like, is most vociferous and shit, you know, but he's doing the same shit Obama did. Obama just smiled at you. And he's the latest, so of course he has to do better than the previous. He has to improve the you know, advance the war on the working class.
Yes, I agree. It's just, I think that the reason why this is valuable to many are those that have been in the voting rights movement for a very long time. I'm only I guess, trying to, for our audience, that some of those that are on the fence or some of those that aren't socialists, I try to really highlight what is on people's mind, and that whether you, both of you disagree with me or not, that's all right. It's just there is an attack, an assault on people's voting rights, no? And to sort of just dismiss that feels, to me, ingenuine when we, those that do feel that, you know, you call them reformists, but until this revolution comes, some people have such invested time and energy and blood and sweat into the voting rights movement. And when I feel as if we are just dismissing this small element, it's a very big part of what people would champion as their own individual right in this country, which is a larger discussion, I think. But I guess that's why I don't feel very comfortable myself simply just dismissing it as if it's just minuscule, like it's nothing for a lot of people, especially who are hearing us. But I always give the space for you both to make your case why it isn't even important to make that voting right essential in our struggle or our fight. You both have to try to make your case for that. I simply feel my role is to also highlight that importance of why in the discussions I've had this week, people are quite upset over their own voting right. And I think for me, it's important to just highlight that moment for them. That is what my purpose, I guess, in doing this.
I kind of want to break some news, maybe at least from my perspective.
You can definitely share with the audience your own news.
Maybe to quote Chris Hedges, he kind of coined this idea, basically that the slow coup d'etat on democracy, it's over. We live in a corporate dictatorship. You know, so whatever, you know, if you want to hold on to feelings, you're about receipts. I'm providing my receipts, you know, my argument, the science of logic. If it's about feelings, then we're having a different conversation. And again, I truly believe we live in a corporate dictatorship. And your vote doesn't matter, really. It's been shown. You know, even if you have representatives of a certain class, you know, we have majors of all colors, of all sexual identities, blah, blah, blah. Their job is to push trickle-down economics. London Breed in D.C., Lori Lightfoot in Chicago.
And Eduardo, this is why, look, we were down this road before. We were down this road around immigration, around ICE, and people were saying, don't you care about kids being put in cages? Of course we do. But I'm just telling you that the same things were happening with the other last administration. So I'm not going to, because the issue of kids with cages wasn't about kids in cages. It was about propping up the Democratic Party. And that's what's at service right now. This isn't really about the elections. The people who are saying that this issue is about elections are hiding behind, please vote for Joe Biden, support the Democratic Party, help us rebuild the neoliberal order that the Democratic Party established that privatized USPS. And come and vote for it, please. That's what's behind this election thing. So hidden behind your feelings around election, or even people's sentiment of, hey, I'm fighting for voting rights, is yes, Republicans have been attacking the elections, but that's why I bring this up. The Democrats have been attacking the elections. Both parties have no interest in democracy for the reasons that Kenny's talking about. So the reason I say that it's not a question of not caring, it's just that I know that neither the Republicans nor the Democrats have any interest in democracy, have any interest in freedom, have any interest in workers' rights. So I'm not going to be fooled by somebody who says, wait, wasn't Barack Obama's reason for firing 150,000 workers legitimate, but Trump hasn't even fired that many workers, but he's attacking? No, actually the attack is worse right now, even though he hasn't fired as many workers. But the attack is worse because the economy is worse, and because the nature of how they're restructuring the economy in the context of COVID is going to be much more damaging. And it, and this project, whoever's president, this project is going. And whether Biden is president or whether Trump is president, this is coming. It's happening. The 33.6% unionization rate must be smashed down to 6.7 like they have in the private sector. And that's what's in play here. It has nothing to do with the elections. It has everything to do with bringing down the working conditions of workers so the profits can rise, so the U.S. can compete with China, and they can, you know, that's what this is about. So if you think this is about elections, you miss the whole story. And that story is being delivered to you by the mainstream media, which wants to make this about propping up the Democratic Party. So it's not that I don't care.
And this is why I call myself a socialist, because I believe that only organized workers can fight these capitalists. And they know that. So they have a big stake at keeping the hammer down on organized labor. And what better opportunity than now? You know, it happened again with Obama in 2008, because, you know, the economy was bad and people, especially labor unions, you know, people that go for the, you know, fall in line with the Democratic Party, they give concessions, you know, and we'll get them back someday. You know, ask Lipson about the teacher concessions and where are they, you know.
So if I may just have a time now, yeah. If I may have the floor, I would like to speak to the audience, our fourth co-host for a moment here, because you both have taken a lot of minutes, so I appreciate that. But now it is my turn to speak to the audience. And that is, I'm going to mention some of my former talking points, because there are even today a new subscriber and new listeners. And as always, I try to refer people to previous episodes if they don't understand from what context we're speaking from, if we mention some commentary from the past. But still, I will use some of my former talking points or reiterate something else in a different way. I would like to acknowledge that many people on our what's left audience are cult followers, but people who are not socialists. And I understand that they are sometimes on the fence. And to them, I say that personally, I do vote. And I will not vote for Joe Biden or with her running mate, Kamala Harris, or even vote for many of the representatives, politicians that are trying to run for candidates in various office positions. But I am a hopeful that one day this revolution that Kenny and Andy speak of will one day happen. Who knows when? Maybe when the working class is so oppressed to the point where the working class feels they cannot take it anymore and they fight back. I hope that one day will happen. In the meantime, as I have said in this podcast last channel, that there are certain propositions or resources that can be conserved or ways for us to hold back some of the damages that could happen from different various administrations. And from that is the reason why I will vote for. If it means saving natural resources, or if it means lessening pollution, or if it means salvaging some parts of the current system until this revolution that Andy and Kenny speak of, then shall be it. And I do vote for that reason. Andy and Kenny like to label me a reformist. I just think I like to salvage what we have until this revolution happens. And it is important for those of us that do consider voting a fighting chance to save what little we have in this very fast-paced, globalized economy that is using up all the resources to only use up by the wealthiest countries and the 1%. And for that reason, I did highlight in this episode the importance of the attacks on mail-in voting, which is different from the past administration, from my understanding. I do not think the Obama administration went after the U.S. Postal Service because of mail-in voting. And that is why I was highlighting it, because to some of us, voting is understood as a hoax for like the electoral college that votes for the presidency. But in the more local elections, there are differences that it makes when it comes to clinics in certain areas, when it comes to salvaging parts of natural forests, when it comes to water pollution, such as we've seen in Flint, so when it comes to providing the resources to families that use up healthcare, like in San Francisco. We've had this discussion before. And it is very little, and it is an insult. But it is what we have currently. And I think whatever can be salvaged, whatever can be used in the momentary time until this revolution happens, that is what I think that we should try to, as the struggle continues. This whole notion of, you know, all or nothing is just challenging. That's like saying recycling doesn't work, so just put everything in the landfill. I think that we can try to put some stuff out to the landfill and try to use up other ways to put paper in different places, even though it's not a very good system for our waste. But that is not the Kenny and Andy point of view when it comes to this. So I understand. That is my reason for highlighting the vote in mail position on the attacks of the U.S. Postal Service. And Louis DeJoy is a prominent donor, and there's complete allianceship in corporate interests that driven. Not to say that the Obama administration isn't. I don't mean to give any pass to a Democrat. I was only highlighting the key difference. And so to that, I'm only appealing to those that listen to this, if they find anything in that, they can. And those that are more convinced by Andy and Kenny, that group go there and this group go here, and hopefully we one day will be together. But I'm not interested in convincing Andy or Kenny, as most people know. I'm interested in appealing to my base here.
I'm hoping to convince you, Eduardo, but obviously I didn't.
You will need me, Andy.
I do.
When they are after you, Andy, you will have a hiding place under
Thank
my
you.
Door.
Thank you. With your caramel colored left side.
Okay, I will take you the Underground Railroad down to Mexico.
I'm fine with leaving it at that. I don't know if Kenny you want to add anything, but I'm fine. I appreciate Eduardo you taking the
You're opening other cans of worms here, because I want to talk about recycling. I want to talk about Obama and the donors, you know, in the tech industry.
I got to go put this in a landfill right now. Sorry.
Andy and Kenny, the Y's at the end. There must be a reason. before you do it, Kenny, using that as this whole bottle thing, it feels to me like both of you are saying, like, F recycling, it's a corporate thing, it's a corporate issue. I'm not going to worry about that. This is our earth. We need to worry about doing both. We need to attack the corporations, and we need to also do our part, individual part, to sort of not contribute more to this pollution of the world.
You're very big on mischaracterizing people, you know, like not mischaracterizing people. So then I ask you, do you think I don't care about the environment?
Como?
Do you think I don't care about the environment?
I think you care. It is a different way that you both care. Your care is, I'll speak about Andy's way, because I haven't actually asked you, Kenny, so I don't want to say something that might be false. But like Andy and I have discussed this before, I spend a lot of time making sure that what I buy is not used in plastic or other resources, right? And Andy says, that's not going to actually help anything. We should be focusing on the larger picture here. I get that. Why can't we do both? Why can't we go and, you know, in the struggle to bring down the corporate interest class, the corporate class, and at the same time, do our best to reduce the plastic consumption that exists in this world? Why, I mean, why is it one or the other? That is the problem I have with this. But alas, I'm not here to convince. No, that is
it. That's another conversation, because I would want to ask, you know, so what is the evidence that why your way is working? You know, that it is actually changing things. Our fucking, you know, shit is bad. And you know that. And it's not getting better. And this micro individual consumerist approach, you know, is not going to change unless we literally change the way we produce things. That's another
thing. Both. Well, again, I'm asking, why can't both? You're talking about as if I'm just wanting to do one thing, which is just to focus on individuals. I'm talking about both. Again, I feel like that is being...
So then you, and yet you leave the revolution work, the revolutionary work, to other people. So where is you doing both?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, and I think that would have a longer discussion. What I'm saying is, why can't we have differences about how we approach, for example. I think that's why I'm not delving into that one, Kenny, because you're talking about where my principles and my ideals are with whether I'm for socialism or not. And as I have mentioned in the past, I consider myself to be a more syndicalist libertarian, and that isn't necessarily a socialist. So I have different, I still have unresolved issues around socialism, which is the reason why I'm not actually constructing this Noah's Ark with you both, right? So I think that when I see the deluge come, I'll hop onto it, you know? But again, I disagree. It's just simply I have unresolved issues. And I think where I agree is I'm an anti-capitalist and I focus on what we agree, the three of us agree. And I also wonder what can we do to salvage the rest, the natural resource, this land, to not pollute, not to destroy what little we have of this earth. We're consuming at such a high rate. By the time your revolution comes, Kenny, I don't know how much your revolution's going to come, how much more of this earth we're going to even have to even living here.
The time you end up educating everyone in the world about it, about individual consumerism, we'll see.
But that's not what I do. I'm just saying, let's do both again.
But, you know, I just want to bring it back to the mailing votes. And I do hope that, you know, the ballots are printed in, you know, problem free paper, because it's going to be millions of those things.
Oh boy.
I love it, Kenny. I love it. Oh. I hope that they are printed on recycled paper and soy ink. There are ways.
Oh my gosh.
I don't doubt there are ways. It's just we don't get a say to those ways.
I know. But we don't have a say. We have went from U.S. Postal Service to elections once again. It seems to be coming up. And I'm glad that we
are dominating
in a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm done.
All right. Let us conclude, no?
I appreciated getting the chance to watch Kenny and Eduardo kind of go back and forth and have that struggle together. I appreciate being able to be part of that, so.
This is what we call the ring. Once we're out of it, it's different.
But honestly, if this is what we do, like, we have to be okay with disagreeing with each other.
Yeah. All right, here we go. That does it for this week's episode. What's Left is a weekly political podcast / channel challenging the mainstream left. We post information about our topics and our guests on the episode notes, wherever you found this episode, or on our blog at what-s-left.webno.com. You can find past episodes to this podcast / channel there and connect with us. I remind folks that if you like anything that you have heard here, please share your favorite episode, rate, review, and subscribe to any of our 6 platforms. And quick note, there seems to be an algorithm issue with how our listeners are getting their episodes. Please turn on your notification notes. That would help us as well to have our listeners be in tune to what we are posting. And you can find us on any of our 6 platforms, on Spotify, iTunes Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, BitChute, or YouTube. And if you would like to give us feedback about something you've heard or suggest something for us to cover, contact us through our blog. I'm Eduardo Barca with co-hosts and the lovely Andy Lipson and Kenny Cepeda. See you next time. Thank you.
YouTube is censoring us now.